Thank you, Angie. God bless you, church. Good morning. Good morning. Even with so many on spring break, it's good to see so many here this week. Good to see you this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to hit the ground running this morning. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, all the way down to verse 12. I had a different set of verses picked for this morning, but after listening to these verses yesterday at Kim Fleming's wedding, boy, I jotted these down and even brought the Message translation. So this is going to be the message this morning, so you may be a little away from me. So if you got your phone, pull it up there. If not, look at the screen with me. And Colossians 3, verse 12 through 19. Also add Clay Moon to your prayer list. Randy Moon's dad. Surgery went great. No, you did good, Jason. Did good. His surgery did great Thursday. He went home that same day, and he's home recuperating. And Mitchell Helms. Remember Mitchell, y'all, the passing of his mother. Many of us know Mitchell and Wendy for a long time, and so be praying much for them. We'll tell you the arrangements tonight in the evening service. Colossians 3, verse 12. Listen to this beautiful passage. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. See, Leanne, you're supposed to do that. I mean, it's okay for me to do that. You don't have to do that. Verse 17. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the Master. And husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Father, would you breathe on your word this morning? Would you speak even this day, Father? May it be in our hearts when we leave here that we could say in our hearts, it was good. It was good to be in God's house. It was good to be with God's people today. May the words that are shared, Father, prove beneficial to the good people who've come today. And most importantly, Father, I pray they would ring true in heaven today in Christ's name. All God's people said, you may be seated, church. I'm going to do something a little differently. While Otto was leading us in some good singing, I flipped the message around. So I'm going to give you the front part of the message at the back, and the back part of the message at the front, as I thought I had it ready to go. Beautiful passage there from the message that Kim and Brent wanted to have for their wedding yesterday. When I listened to it, I thought, what a perfect backdrop for this message this morning. Look at it later. Again, I recommend highly look at it in the message. You've been using the words. I've had a lot of fun with people this week who've emailed me, texted me, called me. Who has had to say, I'm sorry this week? Who's had to say, please forgive me this week? Who's had to say, I was wrong this week? Or who has made a point to say, I love you this week? I hope you're talking to your spouse on some of these. You know, I've learned successful couples are savvy. They read books, they attend seminars, they browse the web, they look for articles, they observe other successful couples. But mostly I've learned that couples that have a satisfying and happy marriage, they learn like most of us learn. They seek God, and by trial and error, they keep seeking his face for it to make it work and go. But I do watch. I remember, in fact, been back and forth with Jay Selden, and I hope those of you going on the trip today will not forget. We're going to meet right after the service this morning. We're going to talk about a flying option and then nail down which way we're definitely going to go. Been back and forth with Jay, and I was thinking, getting ready for the message this week. Remember years ago when Jay Selden spoke for us, one of them early times, he said he had a young couple contact he and Dorothy and ask if they come hang out at their house, live with them for a few weeks. And Jay said, well, you know what? I think we can make that work. You mind me asking why you want to do it? They said, your marriage is just so happy. We just want to kind of come see what you're doing to make it work. And Jay was humbled by that, he said. But I thought, and he thought, you know, we'll make ourselves available to these kids. They don't need to move in and spend the night to kind of watch. But he kind of realized this young family, this young couple, young married couple, there's wisdom that they ought to be sharing in the ups and downs of their marriage. And he kind of made a purpose, made a point that he wanted to build family, I mean, a family ministry. And part of that was what brought Uplift into being, this desire to see young people and families stronger in the Lord. Now, most of you like me, you don't really feel quite equipped yet to have people come spend a night at your house to watch what goes on. Matter of fact, you prefer they're not there 24/7 to us. Let me share four quick things that I have for the end, and then I want to talk to you in, again, like last Sunday, pretty plain terms from my perspective of watching couples, interacting with couples, reading some men who are much smarter than me, even women who are specialized for years in working with marriages in crisis and working with couples. Things I've gleaned, read, become convinced of in my own heart and experience with other people. I want to share these things that help make a marriage not only last, but happy and satisfying. All right, these first four are pretty simple. I think most of us probably know these in some thing. The first thing we need to do, for all of us need to do, is be available for our spouse. Be there. I recommend a date time each week. I realize in the hurriedness of schedules, that's hard to do. Leanne and I have had an official, unofficial date night on Friday night for a long, long time. I joke about the fact that many Friday nights we'll leave and go to the hospitals, but for the most part, Friday night, we very seldom, if ever, go out with anybody else to eat. It is our night to be together. It allows us to not have to officially talk. We don't have to plan anything big to talk about, but we make sure that we have a night, sometime, and usually it's Friday night, almost invariably every Friday night, a time that's us. Well, we can be alone and just share and be together and love and interact. For some, it would work better for it to be a lunch date. For some, an official date like this to eat, go do something, is not best. I've known couples who every evening or most evenings, and certainly a couple of evenings a week, they walk together in the neighborhood. Matter of fact, we got a beautiful couple in our neighborhood, sweet couple. I hope we don't lose them in our neighborhood. They many evenings, especially when he was working in Macon, many evenings, they walk their dog and spend time walking up and down the street a good bit just to be together, to talk, to interact. These are great moments where, because you know what I've learned? It's like everything. Our kids, church, family, friends, nothing says I love you like time. Nothing. You matter enough to me to make time for you. And it doesn't have to be big, but it kind of keeps things from festering. It kind of keeps things up to date. It kind of just gives a moment where we're together, it's us. And we remember why we fell in love, and we talk, have fun. I hope you're like me. There's nobody I'd rather spend a night with than Leanne. I hope it's true for Leanne that that'd be the case. Being available is a big, big deal. As a matter of fact, Karen O'Connor, a lady I wrote, she wrote a couple things on James Dobson, Focus on the Family. That's not, I keep forgetting Mr. Dobson is no longer there as much. But on Focus on the Family, she had written a blog. And in there, she described some friends, Sally and Dave. I love this. Well, this is not my cup of tea. If you have a hot tub, please don't take that negative. I'm sure a hot tub is a good thing to have. I just don't have one. I don't know if we've ever been in a hot tub. Have we, Lynn? Oh, yeah. Our honeymoon. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was a honeymoon part to forget. Yeah, we went to North Carolina. I'm going to share this. We went to North Carolina. So we're at Sugar Mountain. It's July 31st. We got married. We spent a night in Atlanta, driving to Sugar Mountain. We get there, got the cabin on top of the hill on the mountain, enjoying the weather. Got a hot tub. We decided to go down and get in the hot tub. First night, we get in the hot tub. There's a little boy. He's with his family. He gets in the hot tub with us. He swims all amongst our legs, our feet. That's probably what affected my hot tub experience. I said, man, you're killing my moment here. So that's probably it. So, it was special. It was special. Thank you, buddy. You see what Karen O'Connor said about her friends. They were named Sally and Dave. They decided for them they wanted to get a hot tub. And most eaters, a couple nights, three nights a week, they go out in the hot tub and just spend the evening together, just quiet, away from the kids, talk, quiet. And she said they had a saying, the couple that soaks together stays together. You know what I know? The couple that spends time together makes time for each other. They are convinced they are available to each other. It goes a long way. In the hurriedness of life and in the crush of the world, We can get so busy and we can make time, guys, women, we can make time for friends, we can make time for church, we can make time for stuff, we can make time for a lot of people, and sometimes we forget to send a signal to our spouse, the love of our life. You matter so much to me. All these other things are important, but I always want to make time for you. So that would be it. Make time. Second would be similar. Be attentive to each other. You ever been with people? This is a killer, isn't it? You're with people. It could be a church gathering. It could be at a wedding yesterday, reception. It could be at one of the receptions. And you're talking with somebody, and you start chatting. And as soon as you begin to talk with them, they're looking past you to other people and other things. And it's clear, shortly in the conversation, they checked out. They're there, but they're ready to move on from the conversation. It's kind of a killer. But you know when it's really a killer? When it's your spouse. You can understand other people may have other things, but I have found wives, husbands and wives who look at each other when they're talking, who make a point to hear each other's hearts. It's part of what being available. I want to hear your heart. Tell me what's there. Share with me. It's like we talked that very first time. Sometimes we're talking about the past. Sometimes we're talking about the present. And sometimes we're talking about the future. But the best way to hear somebody you love is to care enough to pay attention to them. I've had couples say to me, spouses, one on either side, husband or wife, say, he doesn't listen. She doesn't listen anymore. It doesn't register. And sometimes the best thing that happens in my office is it just makes an easy place for the other person to hear them. And I've had them say, you know, I've said this to you 100 times, but I hope you hear it when I say this to the preacher, and I try to get the husband or the wife to hear. Do you hear what they're saying? This is a big deal to them. And they feel you're not getting it, catching it. So part of being attentive, you know what, we multitask now, especially you younger folks. You can computer, be on the iPad, on your phone, you can be doing that and paying close attention to kind of what's going around. So I recognize the ability you have to multitask. But nothing, again, says I love you than when you kind of quit the multitasking and look and listen and make time. I always made a point for my kids. They came in the office, no matter what. Obviously, if I had a counseling session going on, I couldn't stop that. But if they came in the office, I was working on something, it was time to stop it. Because they were there. I wanted them to sense they were important. Now, obviously, I dropped the ball on that over the years, but it works the same. Again, you know what? Sometimes we'll do it for the kids. Sometimes we'll do it for friends. We'll do it for the boss. But sometimes we just, and part of it is we've been wounded or hurt or challenges, and we just kind of don't go make the extra effort to be attentive. And you know what? When we're paying attention, we don't miss out on the hugs. We don't miss out on the laughs. We don't miss out on the play. And I jotted it down this way. I don't want a growing distance to happen between people in their relationship, because it can happen. It can happen in a slow drift. And if it's true, if it's begun to happen, I want to challenge you. Take heart. It's not too late. And I encourage you. Even if maybe you poured your life into the kids because you felt like your loved one has just not been there for you or whatever, I want to challenge you again to go back to that first love, to that first priority, and do your best to convince your loved one you matter to me. I want to make time for you, and I want to be very attentive to you. Third one is like the second one in this way, a little different. Be aware. You know what? You know what I've learned, Leanne? I've learned Leanne a little bit over the years. And so if things aren't good, I can pick up on it now. And sometimes I wish I couldn't. I liked it better when I was in La La Land, because Leanne was a good enough person. She'd pray through it and not even have to have a thing. But now, you know each other a little better. And so if there's quietness, if there's this, you kind of pick up on it. And part of it is becoming more aware of her and her patterns. And I assume the same for me. But you know what I've learned? Instead of assuming that I know something or think something, instead of just praying and just hoping it's going to get better, I've learned to ask, is everything okay? Is there something going on? Is there something you need to share? Something going on at work? And when we're together, we're blessed. We just pretty well. Home is an oasis for me. And so I pray yours is. Home is an oasis. And so for me, we kind of, when we're together in the evenings, we're together. And the worst thing that happened in our home was Leanne got a recliner, and she feels on equal power footing now. Well, she actually feels here. And sometimes we're in our separate recliners, and we're on our laptops, and we're on our phones, and we're doing things, and we're in the same room, but not together. So that happens with us just like it happens with everyone else. But I've learned, because of our togetherness, to pick up, hopefully learning. Still sometimes drop the ball. And it's always easy to say, hey, I wish I'd have caught this sooner. But there's an attempt made. There's something about, guys, for us especially, there's something about making the attempt to be aware, where they don't have to hit us with a brick. How could you not know something's wrong? How could you not know? Well, I tell you how I don't know, because I'd just like for you to just tell me something's wrong. But part of being aware is being sensitive. It could be with kids, could be with, you know, we have to do this, and we do this so many other places in our world. If we would do it, wives with our husbands and husbands with our wives, boy, it would make them feel so valued. And I want to say again, being appreciative is the fourth one of these first four that I really had for the end of the message that I want to do the lighter part here at the front. There's nothing like thank you still, nothing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Paul said, give thanks in circumstances, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing like saying to each other, I thank the Lord for you. Thank you for the way you support our family. Thank you for the kind of dad you are. Boy, I am so blessed that you're the mother of my children. Boy, thank you for the way you love them and sacrificially care for them. Thank you for making lunch. Thank you for going. Thank you for being willing to adjust the meal this week, last minute. Thank you for understanding I had to work. Thank you. Thank you for always being there. Whatever's going on in this world, I got you, and I know I got you in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you puts a spring in our step. And sometimes we do it well out here, and sometimes at home it slips. And I want to challenge you. As we're making time for each other, and as we're being attentive to each other, and as we're being aware of each other, to also express thanks. Find it. It's there. It is there. Things to be thankful for. And I have found the more we express appreciation for our mates, the freer we become to get these negative thoughts, negative feelings toward one another gone. Resentment and judgment. You know what I found? Resentment and judgment cannot exist where appreciation exists. And if we will find a thank you and share it, it will go volumes. All right, let me get into weeds a little more. I guess this is kind of like last week. Let me share some things from up close perspective with couples. And this would be trial and error on my part. You know what I've learned about you? Successful couples, they don't take each other for granted. They understand the importance of supporting each other individually. They recognize that they came into the marriage with different ideas and dreams and goals, and they had to merge. And in the process of becoming one flesh, one spirit, there's a lot of give and take that takes place. And I have learned that successful couples understand they want to foster and encourage and bless the talents and gifts that their spouse have. They realize that they're at their best when they are committed to praying for each other. Sometimes when they're not aware, Lord, help me to be aware. Help me to be discerning when it comes to my wife, to my husband. Help this relationship to be what it can be. Because I have found that successful couples are like one person I read this past week, or maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, who said it this way about her parents. I can say today, as my mother said often about her marriage to my father, we're not out of the woods yet, but we're on our way. And most important, we're still together. She and my dad, this lady said, have walked side by side, and she said climbed over a few boulders over the years to make their 60 years. I suggest that in this sanctuary and in your world are people who have lived a long time together. And I promise you, they have climbed over a few boulders together. There's been some challenges. There have been some bumps. Some of them are bigger than a speed bump. Some are huge. But successful couples recognize this person is the love of my life, was the love of my life, and I really believe that God can make this good again. Successful couples, I've also found, know that happiness is, I want to say this carefully, successful couples I know that happiness is not the most important thing. Now, give me a moment to explain this. Everybody wants to be happy. Believe me, I want Leanne to be happy. My life is much better when Leanne's happy. And I suspect the same for her on my end. But I want to tell you about marriage and happiness. It comes and goes. There are sometimes you are euphorically happy and excited, and sometimes you are in the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road of challenging moments or two in marriage. Happens to all marriages. The marriage that this has not happened to is very unique. In love, yes. Committed, yes. But sometimes not the most excited about that person at a given moment in time. I have found that couples that have stayed and have lasted and are happy do everything they can. When those moments rear their head, they are intentional. Intentional about getting back to that happy place. Intentional about finding the place where they are back in that. What I say, because I've heard, had this phrase said to me, I love my spouse, but I am no longer in love with him. The saddest words I hear on occasion are those words. Matter of fact, hear me. The marriages, higher percentage of those marriages have disintegrated with all the work and effort and prayer I put into it are those marriages where somebody is convinced they love but not in love anymore. And feel like the years are passing them by, and if they don't bolt, it's never going to get better. I believe it's a lie from Satan. Believe this pastor's heart. I believe that's a lie straight from the pit of hell, let's say. All of us sometimes don't have that feeling of love like that. But understand that being intentional, working, pouring heart life into it can rekindle this again. Successful couples also know that time has a way of helping them work things out, and that it provides opportunities to reduce stress that sometimes can be putting the real challenge on the marriage at the time and overcome challenges. Was it Albert Einstein who said, insanity is doing the same thing you keep doing and getting the same result? Well, you know what I found successful couples? If they just keep doing the same thing and it's not getting better, they know they need to change a little bit. There needs to be maybe some moderation. Maybe a little bit of movement. Maybe a little bit of giving. And all of us understand the importance of this. That's why, matter of fact, and before we finish, we'll look at Ephesians 5 a little bit. Before we get into the meat of Ephesians 5, husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands. He says in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, submit one to another. And successful marriages understand that's what happens. We submit to each other, love each other, care for each other, nurture, want each other's best. Wise couples have learned that you have to approach problems sometimes differently to get different results. And I have found that often minor changes in approach and attitude and actions make the biggest difference in the marriage. And here's why I moved this part of the message. I flipped the message around a little bit because of these two or three things I want to share with you. I want you to know, in your marriage and in life, your attitude does matter. Big time. Big time. Charles Swindoll has always said, 90%, he's changed it 10%, 5%. Life is, Tim Long, senior moment. Yeah, he's changed it from 10 to 5. 10% of what happens to you and 90% the way you respond to it. And in these latter years, he says life is 5% what happens to you and 95% the way you respond to it. I think there is a large measure of truth to that. Bad attitudes can often drive bad feelings and bad actions. Here's the principle I'd like to drive home to you this morning. Irma Bombeck had a book that she wrote, and she wrote this article in different ways many times. And what was it Irma Bombeck would say about the septic tank? What did she say about the septic tank? Anybody remember? That's a man who's an Irma Bombeck fan there. The grass is always greener over the septic tank. All right? Sometimes people come to my office, that's the perspective they have of their marriage. It stinks. But you know what I've learned, and I read this from a guy named Mitch Trimble. Best thing I got from reading him. You know what he says to marriages all the time? Nah, that's not true. What's true about marriages is the grass is always greenest where you water it. Where you water it. And successful couples have learned that the grass is greener myth is a myth. And it's worth pouring into the marriage. It's worth looking into this marriage and seeing if we can make this work. They're not out to buy that somebody else is going to make me happy or happier. They want it to be, again, good. And you know what? Rather than keep their energy and focus on what can make their life better apart from their spouse, they pray and ask the Lord to help them to make it better for their spouse. It's kind of like if you got a preacher that you really wish was would move on. Maybe it's just time to pray for the preacher to be a better preacher. I've heard that so many times over the years. Good phrase, good prayer. Fits here. They've learned to put their energy into making themselves better and hopefully making their marriage better. And along with that, marriages at last know that the best way to change your marriage is not by changing your spouse, it's by changing yourself. And veteran couples have learned that trying to change their spouse is like pushing on a rope. It's a challenge. Almost impossible. The best person that we can change with God's help is ourselves. And if God can change us, he can use us to help change the marriage. Change your mind, change your marriage. One person said it this way. How couples think and what they believe about their spouse affects how they perceive each other. What they expect and how they treat their spouse, it matters greatly. So a fair question that I ask on occasion, when somebody's come in and they tell me, I have this feeling where I used to have this feeling, and I feel, Brother Tim, it's got to be better somewhere else. It's got to be this, and they're not being abused, and it's nothing horrible going on, and they're just unhappy. And they, matter of fact, on occasion, they'll tell me what a wonderful husband or a wonderful wife they have. This person loves the Lord. This person is everything you think they are, but I'm just miserable. I'm unhappy. Generally, somewhere in the middle of the conversation, I'll ask them this question in some way like this. Could you mind me asking, what is it? Who is it? If you don't mind telling me, what is it, who is it, has changed your attitude and your feeling about your husband? Would you be honest with me? And many times when we get to the nitty-gritty, sometimes it can be well-meaning family. It can be well-meaning friends. Or it can just be the enemy who has just got them focused on the negative that's there. And God knows there's sometimes negative there. And then they lose hope that it can ever be good again. And as I said to you last week, my prayer is, and my prayer has always been, not that folks would stay together for together's sake, but to believe that it can be good again, that it can be 10 again, it can be home run again. And I have been so blessed over 30 plus years of ministry to see couples weather some challenging moments and challenging times. And on occasion, inside our church walls and outside our church walls, especially people who've come to see me because I'm a preacher friend they know in Middle Georgia, and they really didn't want their preacher clued in to what was going on. On occasion, I see them. On occasion, I email them, and I ask them, how's it going? Is it as good as you told me last time? And I love it when I get an email and I get a text, or they look me in the eye and they say, Brother Tim, it's better. Matter of fact, I'd say to you, it's better than it's ever been for us. And many times, the person who most needed changing was them. You know what? I said to you last week, close with these two or three thoughts. Marriage is often about fighting the battle that the devil puts between our ears. And veteran couples with staying power have learned to resist as I said last week, holding grudges, bringing up the past, and remembering again that they married an imperfect person like them. And where we said we're going to start over and we're going to make this new and we're going to make this new commitment, they put the energy and effort there and try not to go past that moment to whatever had them in that challenging state that they were in. And they again know love is more than a feeling. Every day, you know what it does for all of us? Everyday life wears away the feel-good side of marriage. Feelings like happiness, they will fluctuate, but real love is based on a couple's vow of commitment, for better, for worse. When it feels good and when it doesn't feel good. And lastly, successful staying couples know that a crisis doesn't mean the marriage is over. Because crisis come. Didn't know till I got back from the wedding yesterday that they had those tremors in Los Angeles area Friday night and Saturday morning. It was interesting. I didn't go see anything on television, but I pulled up on the computer, Fox News and different places to hear the thoughts of what had happened out there, and just kind of read. So many people talked about how scary it was when the tremors were going on. And I want to say to you, it's like marriage sometimes. The crisis can seem scary. The hurt can seem like it will never go away. But I want to tell you, just as surely as those tremors came and went, the crisis will come and go. And God's love and your commitment with God's help to each other will help not only make this a marriage, your marriage, a marriage that will last, but also a marriage that is happy and fulfilling and full of joy. I want to close this way. I want to read the passage that I read to you again. And in the context of the message, I want you to listen to this passage again in Colossians 3. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe that God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Be even-tempered. Content, listen to this, with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of whatever else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, your words, your actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the Master. And husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Good words in the message this morning. Here's how I feel led. I know we're going to do...